This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley as we get ready for the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Coming up very rapidly. An extra day off.
I'm liking that.
Oh, I bet you
course.
Are. As I've said a million times before, it's the dumbest of all holidays. We celebrate work by?
Not working.
How dumb.
I'll take it.
Yeah, next year we're going to celebrate Christmas by not giving gifts, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, silly. But an extra day off. Nonetheless, chance to get out and maybe play a little golf or something,
yeah.
Or go out and picnic. Or it's really the last holiday of the summer season for most folks. They look at summer as being that period between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Yeah.
And it used to be that was kind of always, you know, with school, that was always kind of the end and the beginning and the end of the school year. We always ended right around Memorial Day, and then we started right after Labor Day. But, of course, they've been what have they been in school now? For 6 months already?
I'm sure they think that already.
Some of them, I'm sure it probably feels that
yeah.
way, but not quite that. Just, a week and a half? Yeah, a week and a half or so. They've got a good chunk of school in. A few football teams already have two games in.
Yeah,
already.
No kidding.
Yikes. Well, right around the corner after you get through with Labor Day, it used to be that that was kind of a lull period. You know, there wasn't much at all to look at on the calendar at all until, you know, about Thanksgiving, or actually about Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and then Thanksgiving, and of course then we transition into Christmas toward the end of the year. But, of course, 10 years ago, there was an event that happened that gave us something else to look at on the calendar, because September 11th became kind of an important date as well on the calendar, and I think we all know why.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on the 10th anniversary already of the September 11th terrorist attacks here on the country, in Washington, in New York, and of course in a field in Pennsylvania. But it's amazing. It's 10 years already.
Yeah. I used to remember where I was at when I found out.
Where were you? There, let's make us all feel bad. Where were you?
I was living in Council Bluffs, and my roommates came and told me it was on TV. Woke up, and there it was.
I would have thought you were still in school.
Nope.
You were just out of school.
Yes,
that
was.
That was the year you
yeah,
graduated.
I was. Yeah,
okay.
I graduated 2000.
Okay, so it would have been, not too far after that. All right. Yeah, I mean, I remember where I was. I was right here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, right here. I'd just gotten done with a newscast. I believe it was the 8 o'clock newscast. I'd just gotten done with the newscast in the morning and walked out of the studio, and they had there was a news thing that came across the AP wire here in the other room. And I looked at it. When I first looked at it, I remember thinking, because it didn't say anything more than just, you know, it was an urgent thing. So it's very brief. And all it really said was one sentence. It said a plane has hit the World Trade Center. And I thought, oh, well, okay. Well, I don't know if that's a big deal or not. Because, quite frankly, it's not all that terribly uncommon. There are a number of instances where small planes have gotten a little too close to buildings and things like that, because sometimes you get inexperienced people flying where they shouldn't. It does happen once in a while. And then there was an instance not too many weeks ahead of that in Chicago, I believe it was in Chicago, where a small plane bumped into a building.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's odd.
It can happen.
It's like, how can you not see that?
Yeah.
But it does happen. And so, you know, I wasn't really sure. But then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, boom, that urgent message was followed by a whole bunch of urgent messages and stuff. And we soon found out that it was indeed a passenger plane, a large commercial passenger plane that had not only hit the World Trade Center, but had smashed into it. And then, of course, the television cameras were set up just a few minutes later, and we had a chance to sit and watch that, and of course, then everybody watched live as the second plane came in. I can't remember the timeline now. I think it was like 20 minutes or so later.
Yeah.
I don't remember
now
exactly.
Yeah, they weren't far apart at all.
But it was far enough apart that
people were
watching. You could see, the cameras had been on it, and we actually watched the second one. And then, of course, a while later, whatever it was, an hour or 2 hours later, we all watched as the buildings just collapsed. The two towers came down, and everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still absolutely just spellbound when I think about the events that happened after that. Because it's that immediate shock. You know, when stuff like that happens, you know, it's not just something dramatic like that. It doesn't have to be a Pearl Harbor. It doesn't have to be 9/11. But, you know, when anything unexpected, you know, like that. Well, folks in Kansas City went through that with an air show down here that ended in the death of a local native here just about a week ago. And, you know, you're there, you're doing something, you know, you're not expecting it to end like this. And
right.
All of a sudden it happens, and it's just, you know, you just want to shake your head. And did that really happen?
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't supposed to be like that, you know? And it just kind of shakes your consciousness because you're just not sure what's real and what's not there for a little bit of time because it just doesn't seem right. And those folks that have to react immediately afterward, the, you know, the response, the rescue response personnel and stuff, I mean, honestly, how do they keep their heads about themselves and all that? I mean, that's really incredible how they did all that. And, you know, there was a, boy, I tell you what, it was one of those things, though, you know, obviously a terrible, terrible thing. A lot of families lost loved ones and things. It was an event that really bound the country together again.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, did people come together in a hurry. You know, we're going to find the people that did this, and soon they're going to hear from all of us. You know, we remember President Bush making those comments just a few days later at the Ground Zero scene. And, well, all of that stuff is going to come back to life. Not like it ever went away, but it's all going to come back to life here in another few weeks when we do hit that 10-year anniversary. Still amazing. It's 10 years ago. But and a lot of television shows and stuff, too. I noticed, not to promote TV shows too much here, but National Geographic Channel is one that I know. We have satellite TV at home, and I know we get the National Geographic Channel. I don't know if other people do, but they have been advertising a lot, a series of specials that they have coming up. And actually, it starts this weekend, this Sunday evening. They have a series of specials on 9/11, the aftermath, the rescuers who, you know, personal stories about a lot of these people who actually did these things. And there's one also that they're doing, they did a sit-down with George W. Bush, who, of course, was president at the time and had the immediate duty of responding, reacting, and taking care of business afterward, and which is always important, you know, after something like that. You know, just because you're the face of the nation and you need to respond accordingly in a way that's, you know, respectful but forceful and with determination. And, but, you know, there are a lot of things that go into it. But anyway, they did an hour special with him, too. And I did record a bunch of those. So I'm anxious to see those programs. You know, I don't know how everybody else is, but, you know, when you're in school growing up as a kid, you know, when it's time for history and stuff, some people just kind of go ho-hum and I don't really care. But I like history, and I really enjoy it, probably more so now than I did when I was a kid in school. But I'll watch the History Channel for different programs and stuff. I like programs like that. You know, I really enjoy reading books about the Civil War, World War II, conflicts like that. I really enjoy some of the stuff like that. I enjoy reading the personal stories, you know, the history, the sacrifices, and all those kinds of things. And I'm really looking forward to some of the stories that I know are going to be told much more in depth now than they were, you know, at that time. You know, I saw a story, though, come across the wire the other day that really, really hit home, though. It was just amazing to see this. You know, we start talking now because we're almost 10 years, the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The other day, they identified a few more of the remains.
Wow.
Yeah.
After 10 years?
Mm-hmm. All this time later, they are still trying to identify. They use DNA to be able to identify the remains of, I can't remember, I think it was a few people, three or four people who were presumed dead.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of probably had an idea what happened. They worked way up on a high floor in one of the two towers, but they were able to use DNA to finally identify some of these folks because the remains were so scattered and so, you know, it was just, it's not an easy task.
Yeah,
it's not finding someone, you know, on a living room floor died of a heart attack. It's nothing like that. So, yeah, long, drawn-out process. But all this time later, yeah, they haven't even come close to identifying the remains of all of the people who perished. And some they never will. I mean, you talk about jet fuel and, I mean, the kind of heat and stuff that generates some of the stuff. I mean, some of the remains, there are none. I mean, there just are no remains. It's just gone, so... Yeah, you know, interesting stuff. We're going to hear a lot more about it here in the next few weeks. Now, one of the reasons I bring that up is earlier this week I had a chance to visit with Dr. Mary Hawkins. She's the president of Bellevue University over in Nebraska. And she is kind of, she and the college are spearheading an opportunity for folks. They decided that with the 10th anniversary of September 11th coming up, you know, a lot of people are taking the opportunity to remember the local soldiers and stuff and the response personnel and all that kind of stuff. But what about the soldiers who gave their lives to help protect the country, especially those who have perished in the last 10 years or so? So they decided to put together a book. Now, I say put together a book. Usually you say write a book. Well, they're not writing a book. They're asking you to. What they're going to, what they're doing is they're asking anyone, anywhere in the country, to help put together this book. And what they're going to do is the book is going to be called We Will Never Forget, Personal Accounts Honoring Our Fallen Soldiers. So anyone across the country can remember a friend or a loved one who may have died in protection of our country since the 9/11 attacks, or actually probably any time,
yeah.
But that's what they're looking at, and they really think the aspect of this book that's neat is it's going to be written by the country.
Yeah.
It's going to be written by the people who have these personal stories. You know, it's one thing to read an account, and oftentimes what you'll do is you'll see someone who has told this story to someone else, and then they actually write it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good as when you get that first-hand
yeah.
You know, you kind of almost feel like in a book, you know, there's something. I mean, I know some people don't really care to read that much and stuff, but there's something about sitting down and reading someone's first-hand account.
Yeah.
Of a person's life, whether it be a wife, a child, a mother or father, a brother or sister, an aunt or an uncle, a grandparent mm-hmm. perhaps, but someone who's lost someone who was doing it for the greater good. And this is what they're asking. They're asking folks to make their submissions as best they can online. Now, it's the online link is not available quite yet. It won't be active until September 1st, so you have some time to put some things together in your head if you are one who qualifies to be able to write something like this. But they're going to be taking submissions from September 1st through January 15th, and then the book is due to be released on Memorial Day of 2012, so appropriate there. And now the proceeds from the book, it's not a free book, it'll be sold, but the proceeds are going to be donated to the National Military Family Association, and those are used to help fund military spouse scholarships. In a lot of cases, you find wives or husbands who lost their spouse, and they are now having to figure out what they're going to do.
Right.
And in some cases, they want to, you know, better their education, to better their lot in life, to be able to provide for their children. So it's not always easy. So they offer scholarships to spouses of military personnel, so they have a chance to kind of do something from there forward to better themselves. So the web address to find all that stuff is actually pretty easy. It's www.bellevue.edu, which is their regular address for the university, bellevue.edu, and then /neverforget.
Easy enough.
Pretty easy to remember,
yeah.
Okay? So it's www.bellevue.edu/neverforget, and the book is called We Will Never Forget. So that should be pretty easy. So if you are someone who qualifies, or you know of someone who has a friend or a relative who perished in service to our country, you may want to submit some of those personal stories to be able to kind of keep it alive. You know, it's really kind of a neat opportunity when you think about it, because we're so used to this stuff anymore with Facebook and all these social websites.
Yeah.
Basically, what people are doing is they're telling their stories every day anyway.
Every day, every minute, yeah.
We're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do it in book form and take all of that information and put it together to be able to share those stories from firsthand accounts? So interesting project. I hope you don't need to be for someone who does. But if you are or know someone who is, and it doesn't matter where they're from. That's Bellevue University where they're putting this together, and we visited here, but this is a nationwide project. Anyone is eligible to make submissions to that. So, it would be interesting to see what the finished product is
like.
So, well, let's move forward here. We have some things going on here in the local area that we probably should be talking about.
Oh, maybe. Let's see. There's a Food Preservation 101. It's a free class. It's got the basics of canning and freezing and dehydrating food. That's on September 1st, and it's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Cass County Iowa State University Extension office. They're just asking that you pre-register by the 31st of August to make sure there's enough space and materials available. Just call the Extension office at 243-1132 to sign up. And then prior to that, they'll have a free pressure canning lid testing, which is from 5:15 to 6 at the Extension office. So that's a free class on the basics of canning, freezing, and dehydrating food on September 1st from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Cass County Extension office. Now, the Atlantic Fire Department, they're collecting tabs on September 2nd. That's from 5 to 7 in front of the depot before they head to convention. You can bring in your tabs and see what they've collected so far, and then see who wins this year's trophies. Just need to look for the Cantambulance. That's Atlantic Fire Department's collecting tabs on September 2nd from 5 to 7, and that's in front of the depot. A Red Cross blood drive will be on September 3rd. And that will be held at the Atlantic Hy-Vee from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, that's on September 3rd, at the Atlantic Hy-Vee from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Exira Mason's annual Labor Day weekend breakfast will be on September 4th. That will be held at the Brighton Town Hall and is from 8:30 to 12:30. And they'll be serving pancakes, eggs, sausage, and French toast. It's all you can eat for a free will donation. It's Exira Mason's annual Labor Day weekend breakfast on September 4th at the Brighton Town Hall, and they're serving from 8:30 to 12:30. Now, if you're looking for something to do on Labor Day, a Frisbee golf tournament will be held on September 5th at 1 p.m. at the Pioneer Park Frisbee Golf Course in Harlan. That's a three-person score tournament. It's $15 per team of three. To register for that, you can call 431-9734. And all proceeds from this will go to benefit Relay for Life. It's a Frisbee golf tournament on September 5th at 1 at the Pioneer Park Frisbee Golf Course in Harlan. Let's see. Also in Harlan, there's a Red Cross blood drive that's on September 6th. That's at the Veterans Memorial Building in Harlan from 11:30 to 5:30. A Wounded Warrior benefit poker run is coming up on September 11th. It starts and ends at the middle of nowhere in Cumberland, and it's open to all vehicles, not just motorcycles. A sign-up is from 10 a.m. to noon. It's $15, and then $10 of that will go to Tim Gord to help defray costs of making his home handicap accessible. You can also get additional hands for $5, and all Poker Run participants will receive free admission to the street dance, which will then be at 8 p.m. that night. They also have free primitive camping available Friday and Saturday nights. If you'd like more information on that or you want to make a donation, you can call 774-5425. That's a Wounded Warrior benefit Poker Run on September 11th, and proceeds from that will go towards Tim Gord to help make his home more handicap accessible for him. Our Savior Lutheran Church in Walnut is having their 26th annual Salad Supper. It's on September 13th, and that starts at 5. It's $6 for adults, $3 for children kindergarten through 8th grade, and then preschool and under are free. They're serving salads along with meatballs, wings, cheese, cold cuts, bars, and desserts. That's Our Savior Lutheran Church in Walnut's their 26th annual Salad Soup Supper. Not Soup Supper. Salad Supper on September 13th at 5. There's a moped safety class on September 17th that starts from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that will be held at the Cass County Hospital's second floor conference room. To register for that, you can call 243-6343, and this is the last one for this year. So you need to sign up for your moped safety class. It's on September 17th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Cass County Hospital second floor conference room. This is a little further down the road. In October, there's a scavenger hunt that will be held on October 8th with over 30 items in 7 different towns, and also have some fun door prizes to go along with that. The cost for that is $5 per motorcycle or vehicle, and you can register from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the City Park Shelter in downtown Atlantic. And then they'll have dinner in Harlan, and then check-in time is at 6 p.m. in Marnie. Everyone is welcome, and all vehicles are welcome. And proceeds for that will go to the Women's Shelter. That's a scavenger hunt on October 8th. And the sign-up is from 10:30 to 11:30 at the City Park Shelter in downtown Atlantic.
Very good. Got a few other things here to talk about, too. But I tell you what, first we're going to take this short break, and then I got a few other things here. A couple of them you might be really interested in, so stay with us.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Okay, time to get back at it again. Take a look at some of the other things going on here. Coming up Labor Day weekend. In fact, on Labor Day, Monday, September 5th, the Lewistown and Country Boosters will have breakfast featuring the Pancake Man. Pancakes. Go figure. They're going to have pancakes and sausage, juice and coffee. That's Monday, September 5th from 7:30 to 10:30 a.m. And that'll be at the Lewis Community Center. They're asking for your free will donation. Now, I'm not sure if it's the pancake man or if it's the guy catching him here, but, you know, they got a little picture here on the flyer. Shows the pancake man flipping pancakes behind his back at a guy, and it looks like he catches one out of four.
Yeah, they're all kind of coming at different angles at the same time, so hopefully he gets at least one of them.
I'm hoping his aim is a little better, but it's got to be the guy catching them, right?
That's the best part when he flips them to you.
Yeah, it's like an NFL quarterback. The quarterback's only as good as the guy catching the pancakes,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah.
So, yeah, make sure you're in line to catch some pancakes from the man. Again, that's coming up on Labor Day at the Lewis Community Center. Also coming up here not too far down the road, we have, this is kind of interesting, the Avoca Family Aquatic Center. Coming up this Monday, August 29th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. is having Dog Night. Dog Night at the Aquatic Center.
For the dogs?
Well, you figure they have like Goldfish Night or something, but no, it's Dog Night at the Aquatic Center. There'll be a small fee charged for each dog that participates. They say dogs that live within the city limits of the Avoca community also have to have a current Avoca dog license. Dogs living outside of the city limits have to show proof of a rabies vaccination. All dogs have to be on a leash while they're out of the pool. It's a new special program that they're offering to pet owners just before the city of Avoca drains the pool for the end of the season. So you can contact the city of Avoca, City Hall in Avoca, if you'd like more information. But again, that's Monday, this Monday, August 29th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Guess the dog gets to go for a swim.
They love it. Why not? Especially if they're going to be draining it right after. I don't think a lot of kids would like to get in there with, after all the dogs have been in there.
Not so much.
No.
You don't suppose there's a reason they don't have a cat night?
I don't think they can swim too well.
You ever try to put cat in water?
I haven't, but I've had somebody do that to our pool
they
before.
Really don't like it very much.
They usually don't make it.
We used to get a kick out of it. You know, we were kids. Growing up as little kids, you know, we'd run the bath water and stuff. We didn't have shower. We had a bathtub. Mm-hmm. So we'd run bath water. And we always had these little poodles. Not the toy poodles, but a miniature poodle.
Yeah.
And we just discovered one time that if we held the dog up over the bathwater, he would immediately start dog paddling, even before he hit the water.
Before there's even touched
water.
Yeah,
we're holding him several feet above it, but he knows there's water there, and he starts dog paddling.
He's ready to go.
As little kids, we just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
We never put him in the water.
That's kind of mean.
Well,
get him all pumped up to go swimming, and then doesn't even get to touch it.
But we just thought it was funny. You didn't even have to put him in, and he'd just start to paddle like
yeah.
that. It was kind of cool.
It's cute.
Well, when you're a kid, it takes very little to entertain you, I
true.
Guess. That was before cable, by the way.
It probably still entertain me to this day, so
yeah.
I don't know.
There was no Xbox or Wii or anything yeah. back then, so that was our entertainment. We just played with the dog. Also, the hunter safety education courses, I'm not going to go into great detail about that because they do start right away this week. Shelby County Conservation Board is sponsoring the hunter safety education class. It's this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, It's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday is what it is. 6 to 9 o'clock each of those nights. You have to participate in all of them. And again, you should probably be registered for that, I would assume, by now. But that's coming up yet this week in Shelby County. Also, coming up here pretty quick, they're going to be celebrating 100 years at the Anita Library. And that's going to be Saturday, September 3rd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There'll be a program at 2. And then also Sunday, September the 4th from 2 to 6 with a program at 4 o'clock. The Board of Trustees and the library staff will be honoring the Anita Women's Literary Club of 1911. They were the ones who started the Anita Public Library in the City Hall. We'll have refreshments there, too. So if you want to stop on by, you can also get raffle tickets that are available. They'll have a barn quilt that will be raffled off. It's donated by Kendra Sorum. Tickets are $2 each. And then they're also going to have there are other fundraisers there as well. And then they also have on display an old Anita Theater advertising curtain. It's from around 1929, 1935. So that'll be on display actually through December 4th, but you get a chance to see some of that too. Also coming up on Sunday, is it Sunday? Let me look at the date here. Yeah, Sunday. It's September 11th, and that is Sunday. St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita will be holding their annual chicken dinner on Sunday, September 11th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they'll be featuring a chicken by Staley's Catering. Staley's Fried Chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, homemade salads and desserts, and carryouts are available from 10:30 to 12:30. And the delivery will be made to shut-ins as well for that. So that's coming up on September 11th, St. Mary's Church in Anita, their chicken dinner. This is a little further down the road, but worth talking about now because tickets are limited and you're going to want to get yours. The Rotary Club of Avoca has invited, and he has accepted, they've invited Simon Estes to come perform. That's going to be on a Saturday. It's a Saturday, kind of a matinee. Saturday, October the 8th. It's a little bit down the road, October 8th, at 4 p.m. at the AHST High School Auditorium in Avoca. Now, tickets are only $20 each, and they include a reception that follows the concert. So if you've never had a chance to meet and greet world-class operatic talent, there's your opportunity. Now, a limited number of tickets available, so you need to get after it here pretty quick. In Avoca, you can get them at Paulie Jones Funeral Home, at Thames Insurance, Mid-States Bank, Capri Motel, Avoca Nursing and Rehab, Neiman Real Estate, State Farm Insurance, or at City Hall. They're also available in Harlan at Paulie Jones Funeral Home and Harlan Veterinary Associates. Now, some local school choirs will be performing a few numbers with Simon Estes as well, so great opportunity for them. You've never seen Simon Estes
concert?
Wow, no. What a talent. I mean, it's real easy. If you're not sure why, you know, you watch these guys on TV, and, you know, it's great, but you expect it to be great and stuff, but you really don't get the full feel of it. It's like anything, live entertainment. Way better. And when you hear those tones, oh, Lord, you realize right away how this guy rose to the top. Doors open at 3 o'clock. There is no reserved seating, so you'll need to get there at time. Now, of course, Simon Estes is an Iowa native. He was born in Centerville, and he's been a major international opera star since the 1960s. He's sung at most of the world's great opera houses. He has helped students. That's one of the things he's very good at when he does these things, is help students. He does a lot of that. He was in Atlantic, I can't remember how many years ago now. I want to say it was probably somewhere around like 7 to 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Did a concert here. Oh, wow. Pretty impressive. But he's currently a professor of music at Wartburg College up in Waverly, but still has that talent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you'd like to see that, Saturday, October 8th, 4 p.m., AHST High School Auditorium. $20 is all it costs to get tickets. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to know more, you can contact any Rotary Club member in Avoca, or you can stop by a number of those businesses or City Hall in Avoca as well, and they'll get you your tickets so you can be a part of that. Great opportunity for folks.
Yeah.
All right. You got any birthdays over there?
I have some birthdays over at the Friendship Home in Exira. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Mark Gustafson on August 27th and also to Catherine Hyken on August 27th. So happy birthday to those two. They're over at the Friendship Home in Exira.
In Audubon.
Audubon, yeah.
The Friendship Home.
Exira, but yeah.
They didn't move it, did they?
I sure hope not. That's my fault. My bad.
That's all right. We knew what you meant.
Yeah.
That's all you got this week?
That's all I got.
Oh, I don't have any anniversaries, nor do we have any births to tell you about this time around either. So make sure you check us out on the web, too, by the way, at KJAN.com. If you go up to the top of our main web page, you'll see this bar across has a bunch of different things up there. One of the things it says is programs. Now, that's a little tab. If you click on that, it'll take you to a page that has a list of a bunch of different programs that we have here on KJAN. One of them is This Is Your Anishinaabe Valley.
Yay.
Now, if you click on that, you'll just find a little bit of information about the program. But primarily what you'll find on that page are the podcasts of our programs. After our programs air each week, we also throw them up on the web for you, so you have a chance to experience that again if you just can't get enough of us on the weekends.
Which I'm sure is everybody.
Yeah, we're available 24/7.
Yeah.
See how easy that is? I'm sure
they're they're like turning off now.
Listen to them all running for their computers. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for you this week. Thanks for joining us here on our program, as always. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this has been your Anishinaabe Valley.